Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd on the Double with the Double S Express.
Hey, George, thank you for being on the Double with the Double S Express. And George, let's get right into it. Just had a big week in Las Vegas. Of course, you are an NBA Developmental League referee. So how did the week go?
Well, the week went very, very well. We had a group of referees in from several different groups. We had the FIBA referees, who are an international group, eight from all over the world. We had 16 new hire candidates in. We had several D-League referees in and one referee that works in the WNBA. So it was a pretty diverse group. But the global event provided us a tremendous opportunity for some good development and training.
Now, George, just to give our listeners an idea on what it is that you do, you actually develop these officials. You're the NBDL director of officiating, is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And in that capacity, the primary role is to develop and train referees for both the NBA and the WNBA.
Now, George, what sort of criteria does one need to be able to have a shot at the D-League or even higher?
Well, you know, I think every successful official comes from a very solid foundation, and everybody, as I say, has to start somewhere. Typically, it begins with rec league, high school. Most of the time, you move your way up to some collegiate level, and that could be Division I, II, or III. But you need to have a good, solid foundation, understanding at least the basics, the fundamentals of basketball officiating. And I think the biggest criteria that comes with it is a passion for success at the highest level, because there is a lot of work that goes into it.
George Tolliver, thank you so much for your time. I know you've got a meeting to get to. It was a pleasure meeting you at the Global Basketball Summer League. Best of luck in the future, and hope to talk to you down the road.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thanks again, George.
Okay.
There goes George Tolliver, the Associate Vice President of Referee Development for the National Basketball Association. Sean?
Man, Sean, while you talk about getting the show started off with a bang and very quickly, man, and, you know, I'd love to ask, you know, George a couple of other questions, but I know he has to run very busy schedule, and, you know, appreciate him for taking the time out. You know, he's also, you know, one of the things that we didn't get a chance to mention or talk about was his daughter's involvement in basketball. Of course, she's a WNBA player, Christy Tolliver. And, you know, maybe sometime down the road, Sean, we can actually talk about that relationship between he and his daughter and how everything correlated for both of them in the professional ranks.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, George had a long career himself as an NBA official, an international official. He was a referee all over the globe until he tore up his knee.
Yeah, most definitely. And, of course, and, you know, with him tearing his knee out and then, of course, turning to officiating, you know, that has been a passion of his, you know, since the 80s and, of course, up until about 2004. And then when he became the director for the NBDL, the director of officiating, that, you know, propelled everything. And, of course, as I mentioned with Christy Tolliver, you know, his daughter, of course, going to the University of Maryland, playing basketball there, and then going on to the WNBA, playing for the LA Sparks. So, you know, a lot of tradition there. And, you know, that's definitely some big time stuff.
Absolutely. It was great to have a part of the NBA at the Global Basketball Summer League in Las Vegas. And it just added that element of legitimacy to what global basketball is trying to do.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit, Sean Wally. Of course, you spent the week down there with George, and, you know, there's some great things happening, a lot of up and coming talent. Now, Las Vegas is full with athletes right now. And what I mean by that, of course, the Summer League for the NBA is going on down there, along with the Europe League and, of course, global basketball as well. Kind of give us an idea of the of the you know, the festivities and the action that was going on and some of the things that you were doing?
Well, for the Global Basketball Summer League, it's broken up into two parts. There's the international review that takes place over 3 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And those guys have college experience. Maybe some have a little bit of international experience.
There were a lot of scouts and coaches of teams in leagues from across the globe. There was a good representation from the National Basketball League of Canada watching these players, trying to see if there were players that would fit their need. And it was a great opportunity for these guys to see if they can have a career in professional basketball.
And of course, you know, it was a great opportunity for you as well, Sean Wally, of course, broadcasting and doing a few interviews. And so, you know, whenever we can get the chance to, you know, get a little bit more experience here and there, that's always a great thing. And it sounds like you had an awesome time down there for the week.
Yeah, it was a lot of work, long days. I mean, we showed up at the gym around 9:30 in the morning, and we didn't get back to the hotel till 7 at night. And there were 4 games each day.
So you're doing a little bit of play-by-play and also doing some interviewing. And, man, I was looking at a few of them. And, you know, why don't you give the listeners or tell the listeners where they can see some of this global basketball action?
Well, everything right now that has been put online is available at YouTube at Global Basketball TV. And you can find that by going straight to YouTube online or a YouTube app. Otherwise, there is obviously going to globalbasketball.com and then finding your way there. So there were a handful of reporters and aspiring play-by-play people, and it was great to see everybody come together. Nobody knew Adam from Eve. It was completely separate, and we all came together for a common goal.
Well, man, I know that you did an awesome job just by listening to and watching some of the interviews, and so, you know, I look forward to actually taking a look and critiquing a little bit more, Sean Wally, and some of the great things that you're doing.
Yeah, and that's the whole point is to get feedback and to try to get better and see if any roads can be paved and move forward.
No doubt. Well, man, let's shift gears a little bit here, Sean. I mean, there was a huge, huge series that just ended up in the Pacific Northwest, and now we're looking at Home Run Derby and All-Star Weekend. And what I mean by those two things, I mean that the Seattle Mariners took on the Oakland A's in the final series. And of course, the reason why we talk about that, Sean Wally, is because of our ties, my ties with Northern California and yours with the Pacific Northwest. And shoot, let's face it, mine with the Pacific Northwest as well. And so an interesting series up there in Seattle, to say the least. And what I mean by that is, of course, Seattle taking the series, taking 2 out of the 3 games. Now, of course, Seattle started the series 9 games out and now ended going into the All-Star break with 8 games out. A small step in the right direction, but still, you know, not quite enough going into the break, Sean Wally.
Hey, all I got to say for that, Mr. Boyd, is this is only the 5th time in the history of the Seattle Mariners they've had more than 50 wins at the break.
And unfortunately, they're playing a juggernaut in the with the baseball team with the best record in the majors, that being the Oakland A's. And I tell you, with both teams, you know, if each stand pat, you know, going in with the same record as they did, going out with the same record they came in, both are looking at over 100 wins. That is definitely unheard of. And you can include the Los Angeles Angels in there as well.
Yeah, it's definitely a competitive division in the AL West. And if the season ended right now, all 3 teams would be in the playoffs.
Yeah, and that, you know, that has to be a great feeling for the AL West, with the exception of 2 teams. You're looking at Texas and Houston that are a little beleaguered right now. But with that being said, there is a strong contingency in the AL West, and they're forced to be reckoned with going forward.
Now, Sean, one question I have is, does anybody care about the All-Star break and the game and the Home Run Derby anymore?
Well, you know, I'm sitting here looking at the Home Run Derby right now, and of course, one of my guys, Yoenis Cespedes, is up. That is the defending Home Run Derby champion, and he's taking his swings at the plate. But, you know, to be honest with you, You know, it doesn't mean too much. I mean, you know, for a spectacle reason, it's great to have to see your players there. And of course, as I pat the back of the Oakland A's, man, how many are there? There has to be six. I believe there's six players, plus a caveat with Jeff Samardzija. He was actually voted in, you know, in the National League, and now being an Oakland A, you know, that could have been seven. A huge plethora of A's in this All-Star game, so, you know, I'll definitely be watching.
Yeah, it's a great way to showcase the players that have done well for the first half of the season, and of course.
And of course, for you, Sean Wally, the biggest thing that we now know as far as the starting pitching for the American League, and that is none other than King Felix Hernandez, getting the start for the American League. That has to feel good in some sense for, you know, Seattle fans in the American League.
You've seen him for years being up here in Seattle and watched him from afar down the left coast in California now. He's the best pitcher in baseball, bar none, hands down. That's completely, okay, maybe a little biased, but the record speaks for itself. If the Mariners had been contending in the last 5, 6 years, 7 years of his career, his numbers would be even greater than they already are.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you know, that's, you know, of course, Isikawa being added to that pitching fold and a couple other pitchers. I think the Mariners are like maybe one or two pitchers away from actually truly being in this, you know. But again, I have to, you know, I'm sorry, Iwakuma. I said Isikawa, Iwakuma. You know, I have to gloat about, you know, the Oakland A's, man. I mean, you know, you're talking about Sonny Gray before the Mariners series was actually the ace. And now when you look at what's going to happen in the second half for the Oakland A's, the ace is now Jeff Samardzija, Jason Hamill, of course, coming over in a trade. Then Sonny Gray, number three, Scott Kazmir, and then Jesse Chavez. There is no, and I repeat, you're patting the back of King Felix, which I have to agree with you is one of the best pitchers. But as far as the best pitching staff, none better than the Oakland A's.
All right, let's switch back to basketball now. Go back out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in Coach Ben Morales, who coached at the Global Basketball Summer League. Ben, thanks so much for your time tonight.
Oh, no problem, man. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Ben, thanks for being on the show, man. And, of course, you had a tremendous week down there in Los Angeles. And how did it fare for you?
It was pretty good, man. I mean, there was a lot of experience, a lot of networking, met a lot of good coaches, agent scouts, and even some really talented athletes.
And so one of the things that I believe that Sean mentioned is you actually have founded the Central Basketball League. Is that correct?
It's the Central Basketball Development League, which is the CBDL.
The CBDL. Okay. Yes, sir. And so that league actually can run into the NBDL or other leagues as far as, you know, getting to the next level. Is that correct?
Actually, our league is basically formed to be able to generate itself before the NBDL starts and begins. We actually start April, and with the playoffs and everything, we'll probably end right around the first week of October.
Now, Coach, what went into your decision to start your league, and how did you make that all come about?
Well, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, we've got about 14 to 15 different minor leagues in the United States, and you know, respectably, not a whole lot of them even get a chance to be looked at because of the rules in place. You know, when you have modified rules and these guys just play to play basketball, after talking to several scouts and agents, there's a lot of recreational basketball is what it is. There's no kind of half-court transition, no basketball IQ, no nothing that actually can showcase these players' abilities by position or basketball IQ level. So I've developed a league that will utilize the NBA protocol all the way across the board to allow these athletes to be looked at a higher level while utilizing NBA training officials throughout our games.
Now, what do you look for in players when you're looking to fill your rosters?
You know, the as far as the players go, you know, we look for really anybody. I mean, any player who – there's a lot of players out here who have never had an opportunity to actually be looked at respectably or be seen. You know, you can find talent anywhere. The talent pool is not a whole lot different from any other league or summer league or combine that you may go to. What makes a player different from the rest is, you know, what they do during timeouts, what they do on the floor, how they talk to their players, how it looks when the coach is talking. Are they sitting near the bench? Are they sitting away from the coach? You know, basic character building, and teaching these players the industry and wanting them to learn. If they're willing to learn the game every day, even if they've had several years in the overseas markets and they're still willing to learn to get better, those are the kind of players we're actually looking for.
Ben Morales, kind enough to join us here on the Double with the Double S Express. And, of course, Ben, being in South Florida, you know, there's a lot of talent. You know, it's a hotbed, you know, for basketball talent. Is there a way that do you spur away talent at all, or do you just accept, you know, any player that is willing to learn?
No, I get rid of players. I mean, here's the thing, you know, when these guys turn 20, 25, 26 years old and they've never been overseas, they've never been looked at, they've never played the D-League, you know, these guys have never had an opportunity to be able to step a foot in the professional level of basketball. To bring them in my gym and waste their time to promise them something that's never going to happen is something that we don't do here. We give the reality of the industry to a lot of our players, and sometimes they don't want to hear it. But a lot of guys that play basketball here in the U.S., they get paid, you know, maybe $150-$200 a game, and they call themselves a pro. When in reality, all it is a training and development process in our league to assist them to getting to that point. We consider our players pros when they get to the Division I, Division II levels overseas, and even to the D-League level here in the United States. Those are really the only markets that we would consider a pro status. You play against Division threes and fours across the overseas, or even in Puerto Rico, Venezuela, Mexico's. You're looking at the same caliber of talent there that you would be able to compete with here in the U.S. So there's really no different when it comes to that.
Now, Ben, just with the short period of time that you and I are talking, of course, you know, me being a coach as well, and we can just talk coach to coach. I can tell already that you have that disciplinary type of coaching style, something similar to Coach Pop in the San Antonio Spurs.
Coach Popovich has always been an icon of mine, and you know, here's a coach that's developed no-name players. You know, he's the only coach that's developed players, and I'm going to say out of wedlock, because I mean, you're looking at guys that walk into the San Antonio Spurs gym and they set them aside and they say, look, this is how many years you have to develop. This is what you have to do to get there. And players fall into that system. That system works. You know, just to name a few, you have Danny Green, Gary Neal, Benny Udrich, George Hill, even Kawhi Leonard. You know, these are just small names of players that nobody even looks at because, you know, they were a smaller talent. But the benefit of Greg Pop is the way he puts his system into place and to let players know that, look, you can either bite into it or, you know, go find someplace else to go. But being successful is one thing. But we have a motto here in the CBDL, and that is success is earned and greatness is achieved. You can be successful at what you do, but that doesn't mean you're great. That just means you have to continue to work hard to achieve that greatness.
Definitely great words to go by. And so I guess I'm a little curious as to how is that received at the level of play in the developmental league? Because let's face it, I mean, in the NBA, you know, as a coach, you can kind of be a disciplinarian or a tough disciplinarian because there's strong incentive. So you get paid great amounts of money as the series go on in the playoffs. Of course, there are million-dollar purses and everything with their salaries and contracts. How do the players receive your style of coaching at that level?
You know, I get a lot of respect from a lot of players that look to gain something from the training and development here, because we offer film. on an independent level, you know, for film at a group level. We offer film at a team level, and then we offer film at a game level. So players want that film. That's what's one of the biggest keys of a player trying to excel, is to be able to have enough film to show somebody about what they do. So we want to show our teams what the players do on and off the court. For instance, if they ever do interviews, or if they're ever out doing charity work or community service work, or, you know, dealing with camps and clinics with kids, which we're actually going to be doing next week. We have a camp that we're going to be doing for a church next week, and we got some players that are going to be a part of that. But those are just things that we do to try to implement a resume for our players. It's not just about basketball here. With the CBDO and the South Florida Spartans, we want to make sure we build a resume of character building and understanding what the basketball industry is about to our players, and let our players be able to relate that to a higher level of understanding, and let them know that just their talent alone is not going to get them anywhere.
Now, Ben, of course, you're doing a great thing as far as developing these players. What's next on the horizon for you? Are you going to stay at this level and develop these players, or is there anything that you're looking to aspire to as far as the next level as well?
You know, it's funny you say that. You know, just this past February, I gave up an opportunity to go coach in Ecuador. And I had a chance to go over there for 2 years for around $400,000. And I gave it up to stay here to help these guys develop and to get better at what they want to do. There's not a whole lot of people that are out here not to make a whole lot of money on these guys. Everybody wants to make a penny on a player, and that's not what we're here for. We're here to help train and develop players to get to the next level and not even make anything on them. You know, one thing you'll know about us is that we put a lot of our finances into the marketing and advertising and promotional side for the exposure points of what these players are looking for. We don't put a whole lot of investment into a player themselves. We want players to be recognized. We don't want a player to stay here. I know that sounds kind of shady sometimes, but, you know, like I tell players all the time, I'm not here to keep you. If I'm here to keep you, I don't want to let you go to an international contract should you get one. So I'm not going to put all my money into you and pay you, you know, $200, $300, $400, $500 a game to play for me, when my ultimate objective is to get you out of here, you know, within 2, 3, 4, or 5 months.
Now, Coach, that just shows what you give to those players and how much you care about them and having them catapult to the next level.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's about the players, and, you know, I know that, again, it sounds kind of shady, but even the league itself, it's not built to really care about the owners or care about the coaching staff or anything of that nature. We built this league for the players. This is a players' league. You know, we want to generate services that will be provided for our players, such as international radio, worldwide radio, of course. And then, of course, we want to have instant replay. We're going to have commercials nationwide for the league and for the teams. And then, of course, we're going to have a pro stat system in place to allow the players to be recognized during the games. We're going to have play-by-play announcers throughout the games, et cetera, et cetera. So we're going to have kind of similar NBA format, just on a smaller scale, you know, not playing in big arenas or anything, but just playing in a big enough forum to, you know, entertain some people.
Ben Morales joining us from the Orlando, Florida area. And, Coach, with your league, you're not just in Florida. You're not just up and down the East Coast. You're coming as far west, I believe, as New Mexico, if I remember what you told me correctly. Now, talk about your teams and how many teams you have moving forward in 2015.
Actually, I just got on the phone with the New Mexico squad, I just got another team up in New Jersey called the New Jersey Black Knights. And we've got about 16 to 20 teams that are going to be completely ready for the 2015 season. We've got teams that are looking to come in from Texas, Oklahoma, Missouri, New Mexico, and even Kansas City out in that area in the central Midwest. And then, of course, we have teams up in New York, New Jersey, Rhode Island, Virginia, Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh, up in that area. And then, of course, down south is North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and Florida.
Now, Coach, it looks like you're expanding and trying to make a move just a little bit out west, but how far out west? And what I mean by that, of course, Sean, while we up in the Pacific Northwest, do you ever think about the Oregon, Washington territory for a team?
You know, we would love to have anywhere between 4 to 6 divisions at the end of the day. Our ultimate goal within the next 4 years is to have a 50-game season along with 35 teams. That's the ultimate goal for the CBDL. We don't want any more than 35 teams. We don't want any more than 50 games. But we want to have divisional teams. So we want to have an average of about 6 teams per division. And it would be perfect for a 30-game set if we move up to 8 teams per division. I know that'll push us right around the 40-team mark. But, you know, at the same time, you know, if it gets to that point, then sure. But we would rather have around that 35-team mark because we do play with an NBA playoff format. So there is a lot of travel involved at the end of the season when people are in the playoffs because we do play by best of five, best of seven series.
Coach Ben Morales, kind enough to join us here on the double. And Coach, you know, what types of venues are the teams playing in? Are they playing in local high schools or rec gyms, colleges? What's the atmosphere like?
You know, as long as the facility has an NBA floor with NBA lines, such as the three-point line, the extended free throw line, the defensive circle underneath the bucket, you know, those are the things that we pay really close attention to. There's a lot of recreational centers now that are building that style of facility, but each facility's got to hold between right around the 500 mark on the average. We don't look to expand into a 1,100, 1,500 person basketball game anytime soon because this level of basketball is strictly for entertainment purposes, but it's also to gain positive film with significant talent on the floor. So ticket sales are between $5 and $10 for a ticket. So it's not, there's not a whole lot of expenses that go into it. So we don't anticipate our people to go and get into larger venues. We were actually checking out the Amway here and it cost about $20,000 a game just to play at the Amway Center. So we may play there once, maybe twice, you know, in a year or so. So it'll take some time.
Coach, thanks for the interview there. And there's some great insight put on. And of course, you know, when you're mentioning, you know, playing in Orlando, playing in the Amway Center, that has to be something great for the players. It gives them a chance to, you know, actually get a feel, an NBA feel on what it's like to play in that type of a venue. That, of course, as you know, there's a difference when you're playing with that type of a backdrop. You know, it gives these guys a chance to, you know, get in there and get their feet wet and something to look forward to.
Absolutely. I mean, Orlando just signed a deal for a D-League team up in Jacksonville. So out here in South Florida, it'll be a huge plus. Plus New York just signed their deal for a new D-League team up in the Northeast. So that'll help us out as well. So, you know, we want to reach out to all the D-League organizations available to take a look at our league. Because we do play by NBA protocol across the board. So I think it'll help out the players and any coaches and any owners that participate.
Coach Ben Morales, thank you so much for your time. It was a pleasure meeting you in Las Vegas at the Global Basketball Summer League. Best of luck to you.
And hey, Coach, and hey, Coach, if by chance you might need a couple of broadcasters coming up here, especially for the league, man, you know where to look to. You've got the Double S Express, and man, we'd be happy to help you out.
Oh, absolutely. And like I said, I'm always looking for opportunities to partner up with people all the time. And I thank you guys for having me on. And, you know, I definitely look forward to working with you guys throughout my season. So thank you guys for having me on, and I look forward to a good season.
No doubt about it.
Thanks for your time, Coach.
All right. Thanks, guys.
There goes Ben Morales, the man behind the Central Basketball D-League out of Florida. But guess what? They're going nationwide.
Man, you know, he has a strong vision of getting up to, you know, about 30-plus teams, which is great. I mean, you know, and having four to six different divisions, he was saying. And, of course, that would, you know, that makes it a lot easier. And you know, from a business standpoint, he can start to hire on a few people to run certain regions. And I believe that's what he's going off of, is that in order for this to be successful, he would have to get some other directors in these different regions.
It's been a great show so far. Show 61 of On the Double. George Tolliver, the NBA Associate Vice President of Referee Development, joined us for a few minutes at the top of the hour, and now we just said goodbye to Ben Morales, the man behind the Central Basketball D-League in Florida. And we've got one more guest tonight, three big guests tonight. Lewis Lofton is coming up next. Stay tuned to On the Double with the Double S Express.
Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a come up. This is awesome.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds, and since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. There's no excessive thirst. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away, and I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to andro400.com. andro400.com.
Let's get back to great sports talk with big-time guests on the Double with the Double S Express.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, show 61. Rolling tonight. We've had two big time guests, and we are getting set for number three here soon. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. Sean, it's been fun.
Yeah, it has definitely been fun. And of course, you know, during break, you know, those are always the fun times. I believe, well, our engineer, Don Newsom, has said that instead of the Double S Express, we are the back sink? Back sink boys? Is that?
No, I believe you said drop, the drop sink.
The drop sink boys,
as opposed to in sync.
Oh man, that's
because
exciting!
Because my connection keeps dropping like it's hot.
Well, man, I don't want to see anything like that. But yeah, man. So bear with us, folks. We're that's the art of, and the beauty of radio. And so hopefully we're bringing to you an awesome show, whether it's the Double S Express or the Drop Sync Boys. It's been a great, great show thus far, Sean Wally.
Now, Sean, one thing we haven't touched on yet, LeBron going home.
Man, you know, I think that is probably one of the better, if not the best idea that LeBron has had to date. And, you know, one of the things that hasn't been touched about, touched upon as far as this whole move back, I hear a lot of people saying it's a great move. I hear a lot of people saying that he shouldn't have left. You know, all of these things, whatever your opinion is, I just think that it was a great decision for him to want to go back home and play for, you know, the team that he grew up loving, the area that he grew up loving, trying to win them an NBA title. I think that is an excellent idea. And if you look at it, because LeBron never went to college, you can look at it almost as if LeBron went to college for 4 years down in Miami, played his 4 years, graduated, and now he's coming back. And he still has a lot of time and a lot of energy and a lot of great basketball left that, you know, this was an awesome decision. And so, you know, hats off to LeBron James. Fans get a lot of flack for being a LeBron James fan. I mean, I think there are a lot of LeBron James fans. I don't think necessarily people are Miami Heat fans or Cleveland Cavalier fans. They're just LeBron James fans. So wherever he goes, the fans are going to go. And, you know, I just tip my hat off to him because I think that was a great decision for him to want to win a title for, you know, the place that he grew up in.
Well, hindsight's always 20/20, and you sense a little bit of regret for leaving home.
Yeah, probably a little bit of regret, but also, you know, you can also look at it as somebody that just wants to keep their mind sharp and you know, keep that carrot and that cart before the horse, or don't put the cart before the horse, that carrot in front of the horse, if you will, as far as something to go after. He understands how tough it is. He said it, in his letter that it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to win a title. But I think that's something that's going to keep him driving. I don't think he needs to win 2, 3, 4, 5 NBA titles. I just think he needs to win one to cement his legacy in Cleveland. And, you know, with that being said, I just think that it's awesome for him to actually do that. Let's face it. I mean, he is 30 years old. I believe that LeBron has 5, maybe 6, possibly 7 good years left in playing. Let's just say at least 5. I believe that within that frame of time, he can get the Cleveland Cavaliers or the city of Cleveland what they so have diverted for so long, and that's a title.
Yeah, Sean, and you look at the roster now, they're going to be a lot better, obviously, with the best player on the planet returning, but they've got Kyrie Irving, who's a veteran now, and the number one pick in this year's draft. So Cleveland, their roster is better now than it was when LeBron left last time.
Yeah, most definitely. And of course they have a Barajal still with the team. And as you were mentioning, the number one pick, Andrew Wiggins, he is a question mark if he's going to be there for opening season, because they're dangling him in front of, and dare I say for, power forward Kevin Love from Minnesota. If that goes down, Sean Wally, I don't even know what to say, man. I mean, you're talking about a team that already, with the roster that they have now, with Andrew Wiggins, and then if you talk about adding a Kevin Love, they go from just a team that's going to be one of the best in the East to a team that can actually truly vie for an NBA title.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how the power shifts in the Eastern Conference now that Miami is going to look a lot different and probably not going to be the favorite.
Yeah, you know, of course, Miami, you know, there were a lot of things predicated on LeBron James, but Miami did a pretty good job, of course, of signing Chris Bosh. I don't know if he's worth $120 million that was given to him, but that does give a lot of leverage that they can build a team around him, meaning Pat Riley, he can build a team around him. They still have a lot of holes to fill because a lot of people are unrestricted free agents. You're talking about one, Dwayne Wade. Will he come back? I believe the answer is yes, that he will come back. I believe that he is cemented himself for a while in Miami, and he is the jewel of Miami. Now, some might say that he's looking at Chicago. He might do the same thing that LeBron did. And by the way, Sean Wally, I believe that because LeBron made the decision to go back home, I believe that that made the decision even more prominent for Carmelo Anthony to stay in New York and remain a New York Knick.
Well, the bottom line for Carmelo, he went elsewhere. He was going to lose half of his salary. So you stay with the Knicks. You got Phil Jackson building everything from the ground up. You've got the right coach in place in Fisher. And so now it just made financial and smart basketball sense to stay in New York.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we can take a look at that in hindsight and say, yeah, that makes perfect sense. But I truly believe, Sean, that he was looking to leave. I mean, the suitors that were looking for him, you're talking about the Los Angeles Lakers. Who wouldn't want to play with Kobe Bryant? And then you're looking at the Chicago Bulls that have a sound basketball organization, and they were flaunting a lot of money at him as well. And so I don't think it was as easy as we're making it out. I think that what made the decision better was the reception that the NBA, the league, the fans, the world made as far as receiving LeBron James' decision in going back home, because he wanted to give his hometown a title that made it a little bit easier for Carmelo. And I could be wrong, but I believe that that is the reason why Carmelo made the decision to stay in New York.
I would have to say money had a lot to do with it. I mean, if you're going to lose half, why would you leave?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a strong point that you're making. But at the same time, I mean, we're talking about Chris Bosh. You know, when Chris Bosh was offered money to go to Houston, Chris Bosh was actually offered a little bit more money to go to Houston, not much, but a little bit more to go to Houston. And you're talking about a team after LeBron James left Miami, you're talking about a team in Houston that all they needed was, you know, that power forward to put them into even stronger contention in the West. And, you know, yet Chris Bosh decided to stay in Miami. Now, I know that the salaries are very similar, but at the same time, why wouldn't Chris Bosh go to Houston, which, and that's his home state?
It's all about the money. The team that has you can pay you the most. And a guy that knows a lot about basketball is ready for us here on the HolySmokeNuts.com phone lines. Big time guest number three tonight, my good buddy for the past week, Lewis Lofton out of Salt Lake City. Lewis, what's going on, buddy? Thanks for your time.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great, Lewis. Doing? Thanks for being on the show, man. And of course, you had a big week down in Las Vegas. And so, man, kind of give us an idea on how it went for you and your team.
Oh, it went great, man. It was very blessed to have some young men to come all over New York, Houston, Texas, hometown Vegas, you know, Washington State, Oregon. I mean, you have some big time players that come in. They're trying to find themselves a home in that international market.
And so, and Lewis, of course, you know, you played your college ball at Weber State and, you know, had a great stint. Big Sky champions in 93, 94, 94, 95. So those two seasons there, you're defensive player of the year. You're still residing in Salt Lake City. Man, kind of give us an insight on Salt Lake City and what that's like for a player.
Well, hey, it's great, man. You know, I'm pretty sure you guys heard in the NBA, people hate to come to play Denver or Salt Lake City because of elevation.
True,
and
true.
All my years when I was training, you know, Salt Lake was my home. And when I went over Europe or South America or Asia or China or whatever, I play above sea level. You know, so condition-wise, it was easy. I could run like a deer, so condition was not a problem for me. So I was able to get into all the facilities here because, playing at the school, Weber State was small at the time, and we put Weber State on the map by going to the NCAA tournament, playing in Michigan State, when the last year of Judge Heathcote, you know, and playing as John Thompson. Before his last year was out with Allen Iverson. I mean, those were big time, those years.
Lewis, from college to your experience overseas in professional basketball, who were some guys that helped mold you and taught you, whether it was coaching or just older players that were veterans that were your mentors?
Oh, man, it's about that grind. You know, first it started when I was in high school at Central Washington. Matter of fact, you know, my, dad, you know, Ron Bryan told me that, you know, if you want to succeed in life, you know, you gotta work hard at everything you do and don't never give up. You know, I carried that on to college. You know, I would think about, you know, what's important. You know, I gotta get my school paid for. Not only I can do that, to be able to, you know, continue to play well in sports and stuff like that. But there's been some great guys that I come to in the past that allowed me to have an outstanding career in Europe, to play for about 11, 12 years.
Now, Lewis, when did you form a bond with Daryl Reshaw, who runs globalbasketball.com and the Global Basketball Summer League? And when did you guys get together and you start not only coaching teams, but guiding players and helping with player development?
Well, I met Daryl over in Poland. It was like before I won the championship. And we came up with this idea of helping athlete to come out of college, fresh out of college, to get a fresh start to playing professional basketball. And we put it together and we started with Eurobasket Summer League. We the one started, created Eurobasket Summer League. And so when I came back and I was a player coach my last 2 years when I won the championship in Poland. And so we can start helping agents to find guys who really fit these clubs in Europe, what they are really looking for. And so that's why we came up with the idea of the Global Summer League.
Lewis Lofton, kind enough to join us here on the Double with the Double S Express. And Lewis, you had mentioned high school, and that's something that I want to talk with you about as far as, you know, basketball is concerned. And you went to high school in a high school, Centralia, Washington, and that's Central Western Washington, the Centralia Tigers, I believe. Am I correct?
That's correct.
So the black and orange. And so, and so the reason why I know that is one of my coaches, and of course, you and I had a little dialogue over the week as far as understanding terminology of basketball. And one of the coaches that I learned from as a high school coach came from Centralia High School, and David Pritchard. Does that name sound familiar?
Oh, of course it sounds familiar. He was you know what? He was one of those guys who loved to push you to the limit. He's one of the outstanding football coach. And his son, I still keep in contact with his son when he played at Stanford. As a matter of fact, he's on the coaching staff with the Stanford football team. They had a wonderful year until they came up here and played Salt Lake City up in the Utes. You know, the Utes they were fifth in the nation at that time when they came up and played Salt Lake City, University of Utah. So, David Pritchard is a really outstanding guy, man.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The Pritchards are very good friends of the family. And, of course, the quarterback that you're mentioning, Tavita Pritchard, played football at Stanford, and now the quarterback's coach at Stanford, did a great job there. Of course, you know as well as I do, the Pritchard family is quite large. And, of course, Tana is at Washington State right now. And Caleb is also going to Washington State to play some football as well. And, you know, just a tremendous family. And I figured that you would have strong ties because they play a significant role in a lot of young athletes, of course, being involved in Young Life and doing some awesome things there. And so, you know, it's good to actually talk with you and see some of the fruits of the labor that, you know, that awesome Pritchard family has put together.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So now with that being said, of course, you going to Weber State and, you know, having, you know, a strong stint, you know, in the European League as well. And now, you know, becoming such a great coach, the conversation that you and I had indirectly was asking the players about a hedge. Did the players ever get that one right?
You know, some of them get it, but, you know, some of them, they're going to take them a while to get it. You know what I'm talking about? So.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, especially in the developmental league, that's something that, you know, players need to know. It's something that is a basic fundamental, but of course, at the same time, you know, in order for them to get to that next level, they have to lock in and understand, you know, what that hedge is. And obviously, you guys did a great job this weekend, so they must have did something right.
Oh, yeah, you know, it's always come down to three things. If you can listen and understand and not go too fast and show the scouts what they're looking for. And sometimes it's hard to set some kids down in a shorter period of time that we have for the week and say, look, you got three games. You need to show these people what you made of. But all of a sudden, if I keep preaching to them, if you do it as a team effort, everybody prospers from it. You know, and that was one of my big things, to get them to see as one, not as an individual. So when that time comes, they're ready, everybody ready to showcase their talent in front of large amount of scouts from Europe, from South America, and from the D-League, and from the small community of basketball across the world. And I think they handled themselves very well, and they did a fantastic job for me.
Lewis, you've won championships in two straight years in the International Review with the Point Streak team. How do you convey that to your players, and what do you bring out of them to get them to play together, considering they don't really know of each other and they haven't played together up until it's time for the GBSL?
Is believing in yourself and believing in the people around you, that you're able to come as that one and do a job and take one day at a time. Over the past years, we got kids that's coming in, and they're just going 100 miles per hour instead of slowing down and see the small details. Why are you here? Do you want to go back home and continue work 9-to-5, or you want to start your basketball career in a small market and work your way up, either NBA or continue work 12 or 13 years like I did in Europe and get your flight paid for, you know, make a little money and enjoy the game of basketball.
Now, Lewis, you've got, I believe, a camp coming up in Klamath Falls, Oregon, if what I see is correct, on lewislofton.com, your own website, where you're trying to get together and you're teaching the youth in youth basketball how to play the game the right way and to be good students, good athletes, and that's coming up soon.
Yes, we did one a couple of weeks ago, and it was great. I love giving back. I love helping coaches out who've been around for a long period of time. And sometimes other coaches don't see things the way you see things. Like, I don't see things where other coaches see things. And it'd be great to be able to go into like a small area and be able to share my knowledge and my experience and build that connection, that relationship. Because it's all about connecting. And you never know who needs what. And I love to share information and give out the resource that I learned and have over the last 15, 20 years.
Lewis Lofton on the Double with the Double S Express. And, of course, Lewis, you have done some great things as far as camps are concerned. And, you know, it's not just rolling a basketball out and learning how to dribble, learning how to shoot. There are some other things that you take in a deep root with as a licensed counselor. And so you're talking about things like teen depression, drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, gang affiliations. Man, those are pretty deep subjects, and so you're really going into who that person actually is. And how is that received at a basketball camp? Is there a tremendous upside for that?
Yes, because people don't realize I'm big in Salt Lake City as a mentor and kind of like a PO. You know, my main job is that, you know, I work with troubled youth, and I try to help the troubled youth to get back on their feet, to get back into the community, and live a normal life and stay off the stuff that got them in trouble in the beginning. And if it's sports, if it takes sports to get them where they need to be at, and that's what I would do. I've been doing that over 10 years now, and after I got done from playing basketball. But, you know, basketball always going to be a part of my life, either being a mentor to someone or people's using drugs or they're drinking. Or are they homeless? You know, that's what I do outside of Salt Lake City.
And obviously you're doing a great thing, Lewis, in the community and helping a lot of youth. You know, do they ever come back? Do they ever say, hey, coach, thanks for standing in the gap. Thanks for, you know, reaching out to me. And if it wasn't for you, then I wouldn't be where I am today.
Oh, love it. You know, that's the best. That's the beauty of it. You know, when I hear that, you know, I'm not gonna name no name though, but you know, I have a recent kid that went on to play football I used to ride him. He used to hate my guts. He used to call me all type of name in the book. And I saw him at a 7-Eleven when I was getting a drink, and he was like, "Hey, Coach Lofton, Lewis?" I was like, "Yes, sir. That's me." He was like, "Hey, you don't probably don't remember me. I probably wasn't the hardest guy that you ever had to take down. You know, I would tell me to stay off the streets, you know," and he's shared his life. You know, he's married, he got three kids, and, you know, his son playing football, he's a football coach. Those are success stories I love to have, so I can share it on to the next person who comes to the program that I run out here in Salt Lake City. Those are the blessings I like to share to people and to let them know, hey, you know, this kid can make it. He was on the low pole and able to come out and be ahead, you know, working for DirecTV, making $60,000 a year. I would never thought this kid would do some stuff like that. You never know what's going to change and who you can meet and inspire you to be where you need to be.
Lewis Lofton, championship coach of the Global Basketball Summer League, 2 years in a row. Great high school basketball player at Centralia in Centralia, Washington. Professional player, now a mentor to the youth as well as aspiring professional athletes. It's been great getting to know you in the last week. Anytime you come back to Washington, be sure and let me know.
You bet you, man. I'll look you up first thing.
Thanks, Lewis.
Thank you, guys.
Lewis, thanks for your time. Visit lewislofton.com for all the information on camps coming up and how to get your athlete. If you got a young student, you got a kid that needs to get in the right path, look up Lewis Lofton. He'll help direct your child, your kid you're coaching, if you're a basketball coach or any sport, and Lewis will help you keep him on the straight and narrow.
Man, why wouldn't you want to get coached by Lewis Lofton, man, two-time global basketball champion, of course, you know, having a great tenure as a coach, doing some great things as a player, and more importantly, helping young people in the basketball skills and not just on the court but off the court as well, doing some great things, life-changing things for the youth of today.
It's been a phenomenal show. Three big-time guests that we hope you have enjoyed. Sean, why don't you send us out to one final break? We'll come back, wrap up the show, touch on a final few points, and wrap up show 61.
Yeah, man, no doubt about it. Of course, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit of all things sports, and we'll make it great and end this show. Keep it locked in. You're listening to the best sports talk on the Double with the Double S Express.
$20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a come up. This is awesome.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
Guys, are you having trouble getting to sleep? Would you like to know the secret to getting a great night's sleep every night? Bruce Feeney discovered this secret, a new, all-natural sleep aid for men. Listen to what he says about it.
Hey, you know, I tried a product recently called Love to Sleep. It was a great product, helped me a lot. Took 3 or 4 days for it to start working in my system, and I fell asleep very quickly and got up rested. And if I got up during the middle of the night, I ended up coming back to bed and fell right back to sleep. I would recommend it to all my friends.
If you, too, would love to get a good night's sleep every night and wake up feeling great in the morning, try Love to Sleep, the new sleep aid for men. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. And because Love to Sleep is all natural, it's completely safe with no side effects or risk of dependency. Go to lovetosleep.com. That's lovetosleep.com.
Let's get back to great sports talk with big-time guests on the Double with the Double S Express.
to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Boyd alongside Sean Wally. Big, big time show today. Of course, we had George Tolliver on the show along with Benjamin Morales. And of course, our last guest, Lewis Lofton, all participating in the Global Basketball League this past week in Las Vegas, along with Sean Wally. Sean, great, great show today.
Yeah, definitely our show tonight, powered by the Global Basketball Summer League. I think Daryl Reshaw is going to get us a check, huh?
No doubt about it. I'm, you know, with that check, I mean, we can move ourselves or continue to keep ourselves as the Double S Express and not temporarily as the Drop Sync Boys.
Well, that's you know, paramount only if my connection will maintain itself. So that's a work in progress.
Man, it's an awesome job. Just an awesome job. And, of course, again, as I've said always, that's radio. Some big-time things going on. Of course, we talked a little bit LeBron. We talked a lot about global basketball, which was great, and the understanding of, you know, developing strong basketball players to get to the next level.
Absolutely, and that's part of the goal of this show is to share great stories, good insight, and touch on stories that you might not find on ESPN.
Yeah, you know, each one of these guests that we've had on brought a little bit something special in what they do. And, you know, no doubt about it, in the area that they're in, whether it's in their community or when they're heading out of the country or doing whatever, they make a strong difference. And so, man, it was a treat to have these guys on the show today.
You know, Sean, we had a champion crowned in Brazil yesterday. What were your thoughts on the 1-0 extra time goal scored by Deutschland? That would be Germany 1-0.
You know, I had to, it was very tough to watch the game, to be honest with you. And the reason why I watched the game was, is I didn't want to be the, what was looked upon in other countries as the typical American fan, if you know what I mean, you know, only rooting for, you know, America just because for the sake of rooting for America and not really understanding football, European football or soccer that is called here in the States. And so, man, 118 minutes, Sean Wally, before a goal was scored, it took a lot of fortitude, but it was a great game nonetheless. Germany winning and beating Argentina. Of course, there has to be a winner and a loser. And man, it was tough for Argentina, Sean Wally.
Quick test for you, Sean. Who was our first guest tonight?
That would be George Tolliver as the guest.
And George Tolliver, a week ago Monday in Las Vegas, was giving orientation to the players for the Global Basketball Summer League the day before the league began. And he said, look, soccer's a fine sport, but we don't want to be soccer. We don't want to be 1-0. We don't want to be 2-1. Basketball, we want it to be entertaining, high scoring, and lots of offense.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, I think that is the most entertaining thing for, you know, when you're trying to feed an American audience. Americans like that excitement. They like to see high scores. And, you know, when you're a developmental league, you know, that can be a bonus because there's a lot of points scored. It could be a negative for some of the, you know, for some teams, NBA teams or teams above looking to grab somebody defensively, but at the same time, if you're looking for entertainment, yeah, high scoring is always the way to go.
Sean, it's been a fun show. 61 just about in the books.
Yes, and then, you know, Lewis Lofton, man, I got to give it to you. You know, of course, all three guests, sharp guests, Ben Morales, George Tolliver, Lewis Lofton. I got to give it to Lewis for actually putting up with me, man. I gave you a scenario that I thought you and I had talked about indirectly, and it was actually Ben Morales. And Ben, when you listen to this show again, man, you're going to crack up laughing. You know, high character guys. I love the way Lewis just kind of kept going with the flow, man. And I'm like, oh my goodness, huge mistake on the whole hedge thing. But man, Lewis played it off like a champ, Sean Wally.
Absolutely. That was Coach Ben Morales with the hedge question, and you knew the answer. And of course, Lewis playing professionally overseas for years, he, I'm sure, knows what hedge is as well.
Well, that, hey, if you're going to talk about it, you have to walk about it. And what I mean by that, as a coach, you have to make adjustments. And Lewis did just that. He made the adjustment and went with the flow. And man, nobody would have known otherwise, but I just had to bring that out, that, man, Lewis, awesome job on keeping that going. And again, three great guests on our show tonight.
That's the voice of Sean Boyd in Sacramento, California. I'm Sean Wally in Tri-Cities, Washington. Show 61 of On the Double with the Double S Express. Big time thank you to George Tolliver, Ben Morales, and Lewis Lofton, three big guests tonight. We will talk to you next Monday for show 62 of On the Double.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for great sports talk and big time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express.